So here we have kind of what used to be healthcare leasing and what is now healthcare leasing. So it used to be you had a medical office building. It was part of a hospital campus. You went to your medical office building within the campus, and that was it. Now, as you see all over the town, there's pop-ups of emergency departments, ambulatory surgery centers, urgent care centers all over the place. Why? Why is that happening? Well, there's increasing competition within your healthcare providers. And so in order to brand themselves, they're getting out in the communities. People don't want to drive to the Texas Medical Center to see their doctor, or they have an emergency in the middle of the night. They don't want to drive downtown. They want to go down the street a mile away. Just a little tidbit of fact, healthcare spending in 2020 is expected to be 20% of the U.S. gross domestic product. So it's pretty important in our world today. So where are all these guys going? They're going into everywhere. Retail centers, industrial centers, office buildings, just kind of wherever they can fit in, they're going. So there's a few different types of medical leasing we're going to talk about today. One is medical office building. This is where you go and you see your doctor. You make your appointment, you go, it's kind of usually planned out. And these are owned by medical office building developers, so they're actually real estate developers. They're not owned by a healthcare system usually. And they're leased to physicians and physician practices. What I'm not going to talk about today is the flip side, the healthcare provider ground leasing that medical office building to the MOB developer. It's just a whole separate topic. The next is retail space and general office building. This is what I was just talking about. You have your regular real estate developers, shopping center developers. They're leasing these spaces to healthcare providers, you know, First ER, et cetera. And then what I said before, retail spaces within a hospital. These are usually amenities. A lot of their employees are looking for gyms, dry cleaners, and have stuff to make life easier. So now we have all the regulations. How does this fit in? What's this maze look like? Well, I'm here to help. We're going to get through these ABCs. The first is Stark Law. The code's up there. It applies to landlords who have an ownership interest in their provider. So the landlord, the medical office building, is owned by a group of doctors. You see it a lot, like Fondren Orthopedics, for example. They own a portion of Texas Orthopedic Hospital. So those doctors own it. Problem is that the law prohibits referrals, any of their payments from referrals being pushed back up the line. And usually it's Medicare and Medicaid is the designated health services. Stark is strict liability. Intent doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they tried not to do it and they did it. And Stark has civil penalties. You can see them up there. You know, you can get up to $100,000 in civil penalties or $15,000 per referral. And that's they call it per click, but it's basically per time that there's a referral payment. Luckily, all of these laws, Stark and anti-kickback, which we'll talk about in a second, have a safe harbor for leases, for space leases. And we'll get into the details of those in one sec after we talk about anti-kickback. So anti-kickback, same thing, applies to landlords who have an ownership interest in the physician practices. Pretty much the same types of things, federally regulated healthcare, Medicaid, Medicare services. Difference is anti-kickback, it's a crime, so you have criminal penalties, and it has to have intent. So strict liability with Stark, criminal liability, and intent with anti-kickback. Interestingly enough, it doesn't matter because you're going to have to comply with both. And there are your criminal penalties, up to $25,000 and 5 years in prison, so you don't want to violate this one. The safe harbors are pretty similar. I have the details in the paper and also kind of the same chart. A couple I wanted to point out to you guys. In anti-kickback, the lease has to be for periodic. If it's for periodic intervals, it needs to be clear what those intervals are. And you see this a lot. They call it time sharing, but you'll see like a doctor or physician will rent a space. They'll work in Sugar Land one day and Medical Center one day and in Pearland one day. And it just needs to be really clear in the lease what days and what hours they are where. And if they get there early or they work late, they could be in violation of anti-kickback. So if you put in that you're only going to be Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 5, don't stay at work till 6, because you can put yourself in this violation. It needs to be used exclusively by the lessee. So if you lease the space to physician A and he has physician B come in and use it, that can be a violation. The rent needs to be set in advance, and it needs to be fair market value. It cannot be percentage rent. That is 100% the violation here. So if per click, you're talking about, Connie talked about it a few minutes ago, you know, if it's based on how much sales they have, how much services they provide, then you get into the problem with this. No percentage rent in medical office leasings when the physicians own a portion of the landlord.